Just a few things that I want to share with you. And I want to look at this passage in Ezekiel. So when you find it, just put your finger in there and we'll get to it in a minute. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the privilege that we have to come before You, to gather together. Lord, we are unworthy to be called Your children, but You have adopted us. Lord, there's no reason why You should hear our cries except that we are Your children. We thank You for that, Lord, for the grace that You have showed us in salvation, for the grace that You have poured out in our lives in sanctification, and for the grace that You will carry us home. We give You praise and glory. Lord, if words could come as raindrops fall, we could not praise You enough. If praise was in our mouth with every breath, it would not be enough. Lord, forgive us for taking credit for that only that for that which You alone do. Help us to learn to live in grace. Help us to learn to walk in this. Help us learn to be merciful and gracious with our other brothers and sisters as much as You are gracious to us. You know every heart here this morning. You know everything that's going on in life. There's nothing hidden to You. Please speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for praying for us. We had a fantastic trip. It was a very good trip. It was a wonderful time for Beth and I to go and serve together. We don't often get to do that, and it was a wonderful time for us to not be in charge of a group or other people, and for it to be just part of our family, not all of our family. Carrie was the only one that went with us, and those of you who will be surprised by this, some of you will not. Carrie belongs in the jungle. We probably need to nickname him Mowgli. So, I'm not sure. He adapted more to the mountains and the villages more than here. I don't think he thought about the Wii or television. Those of y'all who don't know what the Wii is, that's a video game. He didn't think about the Wii or television or anything. He was truly enraptured by little boys running around with machetes. He thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So, and that's all he wanted was a machete to run around with. But as wise as my wife is, she would not allow it. But thank you for praying for us. It was truly a good time for myself, my wife, and as we are training our children, we have committed to not just talk about missions in our home, but to take our children to on trips, to let them see for themselves what this is all about and why people surrender their lives and leave family and friends and country and culture to take the gospel to other people. And Calvin was able to go to China with us when he was 10, and Rebecca went to China with me when she was 9, and Carrie turned 9 in Honduras. So we're thankful for that. Let me give you some statistics that Kurt in sharing testimony with you didn't get to this part of it, but I want to give you a different view of this. The Chorti people, the people that that Chris and Stacy are commissioned to reach, live on a mountain ridge that's really half in Honduras and half in Guatemala. So to these people that they're reaching out to and ministering, that it doesn't matter to them whether they're in Guatemala or Honduras. They don't know and don't care. They're on this mountain ridge, and I think 70,000 of them are actually on the Honduras side, and I think 80,000 of them are on the Guatemalan side. So there's about roughly 150,000 Chorti people that they have accounted for. That's a big question mark. Because not all of them are registered with the government of Honduras and Guatemala. Where Chris and Monica live is in a small town called Copan that's away from the larger cities of Honduras. So this ministry that they're involved in is unlike any other ministry that's really happening around that area. And so on the Honduras side, they know of 50 villages that have been registered. 50 villages, ranging from as small as, 90, so let's say 100, to as large as 1,000. Some of the villages that we went to, like one of the villages, we were not, Chris was even surprised when we found out that there were 800 people that lived in this one village that we went to, that y'all went to also. And he was shocked when we actually looked up the work that had been done previously on these. So as small as, say, large as 1,000. Chris has personally made contact in one way or another with 16 villages. Even if it is nothing more than going and getting into these villages, which is a chore by itself, and talking to the leaders or meeting the leaders in that. If that's the only thing that he has done, he has made personal contact with about 16 villages. He has Bible studies, weekly Bible studies, currently happening in 5 villages where he travels. He will hold a time of Bible study and prayer, and then he returns sometimes. Sometimes he spends the night there in the village. He carries a hammock with him, and he normally in the schoolrooms or off the rafters somewhere, he will hang a hammock and spend the night just to build relationships in these villages. But he has 5 Bible studies going on in 5 different or Bible studies going on in 5 villages. He's currently meeting with 5 pastors, our pastor leader type Chorti Honduras leaders. And he's hoping that he can take these five leaders that he's meeting with weekly, on a weekly basis, and develop them and to the point that they can be sent out also, and they could meet with five villages. We'll get to that here shortly. In the five villages that he is having Bible study with, there's approximately 2,000 people in those five villages. He has done this work, or I shouldn't say he has. God has allowed him the opportunity to do this in approximately around 5 months of work. 5 months he has done, he has gotten this far. The Southern Baptists, or the IMB, the International Mission Board, has been doing work in Honduras, the whole country of Honduras, not just in this one little area, but the whole country for more than 25 years. And their strategy has been one that is hard to not get stuck in. I completely understand why they have chosen the ministry strategy or the philosophy that they did. Because the poverty is so great. It's enormous. And so their strategy has been to go in and to help teach crops and farm on the side of a mountain. Did you talk about that? You did? Okay. How they do it, I have no idea. It's amazing how they harvest it, how they plant it, how they do it. It just doesn't make sense. But they've helped with this. They've helped try to build schools in different villages, and they've tried to help with housing. Along with, the IMB has gone in and tried to coordinate other different groups, separate or away from the IMB. So because the poverty is so great, this is an obvious, strategy of ministry. But God has called the Ziegler's to set some different goals. As we were there, we were discussing and talking about, and we got to meet with Chris's supervisor that's over him and discuss some different things. Chris has a burden and has been asking that the Lord would bring 9 pastors or leaders that he could start discipling and teaching. He has 5 that he's meeting with now on a weekly basis. And with these 9 pastors, if 9 pastors or teachers would go to 5 villages each, including Chris, then they could go to all 50 villages that are registered. There are some that are not registered that nobody knows about, that nobody's even found in these mountains. But the ones they know about, they could cover these 50 villages and at least start weekly Bible studies in them. Chris has a greater goal that he is asking the Lord, "Lord, if it's possible that we could plant in each village a pastor, or a teacher, or a leader in each village from their own villages, that they could develop leaders, that they could have Bible studies and teach and train, and that these 10 men could go out and they could do work, and that it would lead eventually to somebody, God raising somebody up, and He will do it. Raise somebody up in each village to proclaim and teach and lead the sheep in those villages. But to have a pastor in each village, and then to have a training, a place of training and teaching that these pastors could come and meet at one place, probably Naum's church. That is probably the most logical place, but Naomi's church is the only Baptist church in that city. And to have a church and to meet there and for them to have ongoing training and leadership so that they could grow. Because good doctrine is what they need the most. They need the gospel of Jesus and good teaching more than they need food in their stomach. Now, I know you may say, how can you say that, Pastor? Y'all saw it, Rodney and Mike and Kurt saw this. Every flavor of religion you could imagine is there. Last night, Chris called me on the phone, and as we were talking, fireworks were going off all over the city. And I was like, Chris, what is going on? And he said, they're having a huge healing ministry down in the courtyard. Every heresy, and we're not going to get into it, I'm not going to get into depth, but from Catholicism to Pentecostalism to Mormonism to Seventh-day Advent and on and on and on. And yeah, I lumped Pentecostalism in with those. If you could imagine, it's there. So his goal is to train indigenous people, people that grew up, people that are there, that have been born there and raised there and are going to die there, to lead their own people, to train them and teach them, and to help them. Well, what if that are the stats? And the goals, what's the challenges? The first thing that I'm going to ask you, continue to pray for the Ziegler's and what the International Mission Board, the IMB, is going to do. They're not sure what's going to happen, and there's still talk and still hope that the IMB is going to keep them there, and that he not only is going to start just on the Honduras side, but also on the Guatemalan side, that Chris and Stacy will be called to the Chorti people, and that 150,000 plus, really, 150,000 plus people, that they will be called to reach that people group. Pray for that, because we already have. There's a challenge of family health. Need to pray for Sydney. She had another seizure the night before last. She had a seizure while we were there. You need to pray for them. Pray for her. Pray for strength for a mom and dad that are on the mission field. And they don't have facilities like we do. Not even close. Even the 3.5 hour drive to San Pedro, which is the second largest city in Honduras, is nothing compared to Jackson Hospital. Jackson Hospital is fantastic, excelente, compared to San Pedro's hospital. Pray for them. And you know what? Money. The poverty is so great and enormous. While we were there, there were two incidences, but actually three, where the people literally came and knocked on Chris and Stacy's door asking for help, for financial help and money. Two of them were medical. One was a family, was a mother and a father who had a child and the child was just ate up with fever. And they needed help, and Chris loaded them up in the truck and drove them to the clinic and gave them some money and some help and it's epidemic. Pray for New Hope and our economy in this church. I'm not talking about the economy of the United States. I'm not talking about the economy, the state of the stock market. I'm not talking about the economy in Jackson County. I'm not talking about the oil spill. I'm talking about the economy in New Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be as clear as I can. If you are not tithing, and you are a covenant believer, and you have made a covenant to this body of believers, you are under the judgment of God. Do you hear me? Because with your 10%, and some of you give a lot more than 10%, and God will take care of that. But if you are not giving, You are going to face the Lord with that. You will. The needs and the callings, we have two families, the Bouts and the Ziegler's, that we have made a covenant with in this body. The Bouts are in China. The Ziegler's right now are at this point in Copan, Honduras. And whether you know this or not, we've made a covenant with them to be in ministry with them. So that means wherever God calls them, guess what? God has called us. We just have to decide what is the degree of service that we're going to align ourselves with. Other challenges are the hardships of living overseas. I think about the Bouts and the Ziegler's. I'm not excluding Mara Lee. But I'm going to tell you this. Being single and it only being you is a lot different than having a whole flock to be accountable to. Educating your children, security. Listen, in my mind, when I think about Honduras, I think that's the easiest mission trip a U.S. church could take. But when I went and saw the place that they're ministering, it's like the wild, wild west. I'm not kidding you. The first restaurant we stopped at to eat after we got out of San Pedro, the first restaurant we sat down to eat, we were eating, and this guy walks through and sits down at a table, and I look at Beth, and I said, Beth, did you see that? She's like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? I said, that guy had a sawed-off shotgun. Just walked in, put it down on the table, ate, and then he walked out. And I said, did you see that? And she said, no, I didn't. I said, he had a sawed-off shotgun. Just sat down, laid it on the table, ate his supper, got up. Men walking around, I'm not kidding you, pistols just stuck in their pants like this. If they didn't have a machete, they had a gun somewhere. Walk around downtown. Every bank and most of the grocery stores, places like that, they hired their own security because it is the wild, wild west. And so men would stand at the door and inside the thing with pistols and shotguns and And they weren't police. They were hired security. Security for the family. Health. Sydney and just staying healthy normally. For any of you who have not left America, just for you to know, some of you have been in the military and have served our country and have left America, and you know what I'm talking about. Many of you have been on mission trips and have gone outside America. America is the cleanest place in the world. Our water systems, our sewage systems, our medical care system, well, it's about to be like the rest of the world, but our medical care system, all of these things, it's so far beyond the rest of the world. That's why the rest of the world wants to come here. Just the air we breathe, even in big cities. Health. Day-to-day functions. As I watch Brenda Bout and Stacy Ziegler try to run their families, I don't see how they do it. I told Beth, I said, if I was Stacy, I would limit, I would say, okay, you have three pair clothes, you have three pair of clothes, and they would wash it, they'd just hand wash it and hang it out. It'd be easier than what she has to go through on a daily basis, bleaching food, bleaching dishes, bleaching utensils, bleaching cups, just so they can drink water without getting sick. And Brenda's the same way, but Stacy, just with a smile on her face and joy in her heart and no complaining. No complaining. I have never heard Brenda or Stacy complain at all. I was joking with Stacy. I called her the Martha Stewart of the jungle. No complaining. And we have mothers now, and I'm gonna get on the men in just a minute. But you women who complain and you can't keep your house clean and your dishes clean and your and things in order, you need to go over there and watch them for a little while. And then come back. And men who grumble about working and having to work all day long and watching your children starving. I mean working. I'm not talking about being lazy and watching your children go hungry. Another thing is language. Man, Chris and even Stacy, they have done a wonderful job learning. But Chris has said to me over and over, I need to know the language better so that I can communicate the truth more effectively. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean? When I go and I go to China and I go to see the Zieglers, I go see the Bouts and I go see the Zieglers and I come back and I see this great need, overwhelming. My heart can't hold it all in. I cannot put a cap on it. I was going to preach, we were going to continue as normal in Romans. But Kurt knew better. Kurt spent enough time with me. He knew better and he called me and he said, are we going to continue in Romans? And I said, no, we're not. He knew it, didn't you? You knew. He knew. Because I cannot hold it in. And I come back and I go, why are we so spoiled? So what does this mean for you and I and for New Hope Baptist Church? Ezekiel 37 is a vision of the dry bones where God calls Ezekiel and brings him in his dream and shows him this valley of bones. And he basically says one thing: preach the word. As I was there, you cannot help but think about what you see when you're there. Could not help but think about China. I could not help but think about America. I could not help but think about you and me. And all I could think about is, Lord, if the greatest need that the Chorti people, more than even food, if that is the greatest need, is the gospel, if their greatest need is the gospel of Jesus, then our greatest need is the gospel of Jesus. Then China's greatest need is the gospel of Jesus. Because if that is a universal truth, then we could go to any zip code, any place, anywhere, and it's got, if that hypothesis is true, it will be the truth no matter where you are. But do you really believe that your greatest need is the gospel? Let's look at this. So he brings him to this image, and in verses 1 through 3, there's a calling. And I believe this is a calling that God places not just on pastors. It fits for pastors. But I think it's for every believer. Are you being called by the Word of God? In verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. Then the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. So I ask you this question. Can these dry bones in the valley live? What valley are you looking in? Is it your family? Is it our country? Is it the Chorti people? Is it the Hakka people in China? What valley are you looking at? Is it in your own home with your children? Are your children saved? Are they walking with Jesus? What valley are you looking at? And can they live? Because Scripture is plain. Apart from Jesus, you are dead. And Jesus even said to the Pharisees, He said, you are like whitewashed sepulchers. Do you know what that is? That's a tomb. A casket. Beautiful. Beautiful on the outside. Whitewashed. But what did he say? With dead men's bones inside. Everything on the outside looks great. But you have dead men's bones on the inside. And this is a valley. The valley that you and I are looking at, can those bones live? And I've got an idea. Why don't we get together and come up with some unique strategies and fun ways to draw these dead bones out? We could have a good worship, dynamic worship. Kurt, we need dynamic worship, okay? I mean, the bells and whistles, okay? I mean, is that a Black Beauty? Is that what that, what's that, what is that? I mean, just, we need, I want a guitar solo. We need a lead, is that Jonathan? Jonathan, we need a guitar solo. We need dynamic worship. Because if we have dynamic worship, it could raise the bones up. I know what we need to do. We need to have a fantastic youth program. Children's ministry. Because if those kids have fun, then the parents will come and they'll... We can build all of these programs, but it will not raise dry bones. It won't do it. It will not do it. Now, I'm not saying those things aren't useful in their in their place, but that is not the primary focus. So what is it? What is it? We're almost done, so hang on. In 4, 5, and 6, we see the conviction comes. The calling comes, and then the conviction. Look at this. It says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So there's this calling, and then the conviction comes. See and see. I got another C coming. I did this just for Kurt. Three C's. Calling, conviction. We see these dry bones and we think, okay, how can we get these bones alive? What can we do? From 1975 to around 1995, there was a great battle going on in America. The battle's pretty much over. And it was over the inerrancy of Scripture. Is this truly the Word of God? Or did it just contain the Word of God? Can you trust every word of this? That battle is pretty much done. But do you know what battle's going on from about 95 with the purpose-driven church? When it really started catching on, 95, 96, I think it actually was published in 1994. But around the purpose-driven church, from that point on until now, it's not about inerrancy anymore. It's about sufficiency. Is this sufficient for everything? This is what I mean. There are many of our churches that have now bought into the philosophy that have said, I believe this is the Word of God, but we need this plus all of this. All of these other things. A dynamic worship service. Great children's programs. Great this. If the bigger, the better. The more we do, we need this plus. And when I read this passage, all I see is God calling Ezekiel to one thing. Preach the Word. Teach the Word. Proclaim the Word. Speak the Word. Live by this. And then the last bit in verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, we see the calling and then the conviction. Are you really going to stand on this? And then 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the commitment. Actually living. Living it out. It said this. Can you imagine? Think about Ezekiel being led to this valley. God saying, Ezekiel, can those bones live? Lord, only You know. That's the right answer. Go preach to them. Ezekiel, preach to them. I'll use me as an example. I'm like shaken up here. When I was in seminary, I almost failed my preaching lab. Matter of fact, to this morning, I pulled out my file. I still have my files of seminary. And I pulled out my file so I could just read through the pages after pages where we would have to stand up and preach. And they would write out and critique us and grade us. And I was told page after page after page after page, if you preach like this, nobody will listen. If you preach verse by verse through the Bible, nobody will come. If you build a church like this, you'll be the only one there. I pulled one out today and I was reading it and it said, Brandon, you need to have more stories in your sermons, and you need to have longer explanations and less commentary on the Scripture because you will bore the people. This is what Ezekiel did. Let's read it. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. A calling has to be followed by conviction. And it has to be followed by commitment. So what does this mean? For you and me, for this church. First of all, I think you and I have got to make a recommitment to this, to the Word of God. Let me ask you, in your heart, are you spending time in this Word daily? Daily. Meditating. Studying. Now listen, let's don't get all crotchety about this and what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what, but let's have freedom in this. Let's believe that this is the Word of God, which it is. And when we come to it, we should long to be there. Now, it's going to take work. Some mornings you're going to get up and you don't want to do it because you're in a foul mood. But are you having daily, intimate time with the Sovereign Lord of the universe? Growing and maturing. And you're only going to do this by the commitment to the Word of God. Secondly, what are you doing in your home? Are we leading our children? Are we teaching them? Are they learning from us? Are we teaching them to have a daily time that they must understand this is going to help them for the rest of their lives? This is the source, the only source they need. This is sufficient for everything. For everything. For the raising of their children. For the raising of their families. For the economy. For money. For work. For health. For whatever they need. It's in here. Are we raising our homes like that? And are we raising our church like that? Do you believe the prophecy of Ezekiel? Is it sufficient? Is the Word of God sufficient for all matters? And are you committed to that? Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for the opportunity that we had to go and spend time with the Ziglars, the conviction that it brought. Lord, I pray for every person and home represented here this morning. Challenge us. Lord, are we truly committed to this Word, to Your Word? Is it sufficient for everything in our lives? And Lord, we are so quick sometimes to point out the speck in our brother's eyes when we have a log in ours. God, help us. Help us to live and be people that live by the Word. And Father, will You grace us? Will You please give us an environment of grace here at New Hope, believing that You are going to take care of everything of holiness in each of our lives until You call us home. That we don't have to be the Holy Spirit in each other's lives. That there is a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that takes care of matters of holiness in our lives. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray for conviction. I pray for the calling in our lives, in all of our lives. I pray for the conviction that follows that calling. And God, I pray that we will surrender everything and be committed anew to Your Word and its sufficiency in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.